Good morning. Good morning. How we doing? Come on. What is that? Come on. Good morning. How we doing? Yes. Good morning. Hey, it's so good to see you. Thank you so much for being here this morning. If we haven't met, my name is Michael. I'm one of the pastors here on staff at Redemption Church, and we just want to say welcome. Hey, thank you for being here this morning. If you are new with us today, we want to say a special welcome to you as well. We want you to know today that you are our honored guest, and we have a couple gifts from you if you haven't gotten those already, and you'll hear more about that later, but we just want to say thank you, and thank you so much for being here this morning and joining us and giving up your time. And hey, I am so excited. We're starting a brand new sermon series today that I am so fired up about. It's called Bless, the Mission of Everyday Life. And y'all, I am so fired up about this series and what it can mean for our church and how it could impact us in incredible ways. And before I jump in for our sermon today, I do want to make you aware of a couple quick announcements. Number one is that Carter and I are so excited about this series that we've actually made a webpage on our website for you to get resources and all kinds of other things. So you can go to our website, redemptionroanoke.com/bless, B-L-E-S-S. And there is resources for you there. There is a link. This is a sermon series on evangelism and how we can live on mission for God. And there's a place there on our website where you can actually share your stories of what God is going to do through this series. And as you interact and you use some of these tools that we want to give you today and over the next few weeks, you can fill that out. And we want to hear about the stories about how you're telling your coworkers and others about Jesus and about what God is doing in your life. And so, hey, make sure you take advantage of that. But also, this series that we're going to be in is called Bless, like I said, and this was actually developed, this philosophy of being able to share the gospel daily was developed by this church in Chicago, and it was so impactful a few years ago when they did this that they ended up writing a book about it. And so it's really hard in 35, 45 minutes to really come up with all the content that we want to be able to give you over the next few weeks. So I want to encourage you, we are going to have these books for sale after service today and over the next few weeks. They are $17 or more online. So we're going to do a big discount and try to give you $7 or more off. So they're going to be $10 in the lobby today. And we take cash, check. We have a square reader as well, Bitcoin. No, I'm just kidding. No, not Bitcoin. But anyway, we got a bunch of different ways for you to be able to pick up this book. So make sure you check it out after service today. And I'm telling you, it is so good. At the end of each chapter, there's actually questions with lines. And most of these questions are going to be what we're going through and starting, or excuse me, what we're going to go through in community groups. So it's going to be very practical for you there. But also in each chapter, there is tools to be able to help you live out the principles that are in this book that are actually based on the practices of Jesus himself. And so make sure you grab a copy. I'm telling you, you're going to love it as well. And so, hey, today we're going to be talking about beginning with prayer inside of this blessed model. So I think it's only appropriate that we just take some time this morning and begin with prayer to live this out, right? So let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for today. God, I thank you so much for our church. God, all that you're doing, Lord, we're just so excited to be on this mission with you. Lord, I pray today for the people that are here and the people that might be listening online, God, that you would inspire us, God, that you would help us to realize that we've been saved, God, not to keep the blessing for ourselves, but to share that with the world. And that, God, we want to see people come to know you. God, we want to see Roanoke change to look more like heaven. So we just pray today. We want to begin with prayer. We come to you and we say, God, that we cannot do this by ourselves. And that, God, we want to humble ourselves in that way and say, God, anything that we can do doesn't matter eternally, for eternity unless it is connected to you in your spirit. And so, God, we pray that you would give us the words to say, God, that you would embolden our hearts today, that you would get us excited to live on mission, and that, God, you would work and you would move through your word today. God, we love you. We thank you. And all God's people said, amen. 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 So confession time. I have always struggled to share my faith, I feel like. I have always struggled to share my faith with others, especially when I was in Bible college, actually, at Southeastern Seminary in Wake Forest, North Carolina, and I was learning about all these things about the Bible, about apologetics, about God, and I was in an evangelism class that was forced us to share our faith at least once a week. We had to have a gospel conversation once a week, and one of those throughout the semester had to be a cross-cultural conversation, meaning it had to be somebody who was from a different place, a different culture, who had maybe moved to that area. And so, man, I'm telling telling you, I am so glad that I was not graded on the content of those conversations because I felt like I failed miserably, right? Man, it was rough to say the least. And what I want you to hear from that is, man, hear me. Don't not hear me, because God can use those, right? He can use our half-hearted, you know, conversations and those that we feel like are a failure, and he can change lives, right? And he can always use that to plant seeds and do all kinds of incredible things. But with that being said, man, I felt like they were a failure, and it was just very difficult, felt lonely, and just, man, it was just rough to say the least. And so, y'all, I'm guessing I'm not alone in my difficulties to be able to share my faith and live on mission daily. I'm sure many of you in this room are in that same situation that I was in. Y'all know that God has saved you, right? We know that. We know the gospel. That is what Jesus has done for us on the cross, that he's given us a hope and a future. And we know that we need to share that in a compelling way with others. We know we are called to do that. But because of that, with that being said, when it comes to sharing this in a compelling way with others, you feel lost or you feel inadequate. Like you're going to make a fool out of yourself. Maybe the other person won't believe you. And so, like me, you avoid having faith-based conversations with others around you. And y'all, according to Lifeway Research, only three in 10 unchurched Americans say a Christian has ever shared with them one-on-one how a person becomes a Christian. So that's only 3 out of 10. So hear me on that. Over 70% of unchurched Americans, you think about all the people that do not go to church, over 70% of them have never even had one person come up to them and tell them about Jesus and what he can do for them and what he has done for them. That's over 70%. Y'all, it's obvious that we need a better way. We need a solution. We don't need another track or the Romans Road or those are good gospel ways to be able to tell people about the gospel, if you've ever used a track or things like that. But what we need is a change in lifestyle. We need a change in lifestyle that's based on relationships with people around us. It's like a diet, right? When you go on a diet, I've heard this my whole life, it's like, don't go on a diet. What you need to do is change your lifestyle and start doing certain things throughout the day, right? And throughout the week and throughout the year, so you don't have to go on a diet every few years. So that's what I want to show us today, is I want us to have a change in lifestyle, something that will bring lasting change, right? We need a new way of thinking and behaving. See, our mission statement here at Redemption Church, you can see it right as you leave today, is that we want to lead a restless culture to the redeeming Savior. And y'all, we know our world is restless. They are searching for something that can ultimately satisfy the longings of their heart, but they're searching in all the wrong places. And we know that. Why do we know that is true? Because y'all, that's us apart from Jesus. We are all searching for something that's gonna bring that satisfaction, that longing to our hearts, that can satisfy that relationship that we have, that we're lurking, that we're searching for and we're looking for. So we know that because that's where we are apart from Jesus. And y'all, if we are gonna lead people from restless to redemption, we need to have a better way to live on mission. Sharing our faith, hear me, is not reserved for the super Christian, but it's something for all of us to take part in. It's not something reserved for the mature Christian, the person that has it all together. No, no, no. Whether you came to know Jesus last week or God has ignited your heart on fire for him yesterday, all of us need to be taking part in this glorious mission that he has called us to. And y'all, I'm convinced that the reason that many of us as Christians don't walk in this abundant life that Jesus has called us to is because we are missing this piece of Christianity. Hear me, brother, sister, if you are not living, if you feel like there's no joy in your life, in your walk of Jesus, it may be because you are missing the purpose for which you were created, which is to be in relationship with the God that created you. But secondly, it's to make that known to the entire world, to tell them about what he has done for you and how great he is in this abundant life. Jesus says, I have come to give you life and give it to you abundantly. And I believe that scripture, yes, is pointing to one day that we are gonna have that abundant life where we're gonna be here with or be with him forever, but also here and now. I believe that, God has called us to this abundant, joy-filled life that we have, and that doesn't mean that we won't suffer, that it's not gonna be difficult and times are gonna be hard. No, no, but that means that we have this joy that doesn't compare to anything else. And I'm telling you from personal experience that, y'all, it comes when you are living on mission and you get to look in someone's eyes and you get to see them, it click. And you can see where they're finally getting it, and they can see, man, what Jesus has done for them. And it's because God used you to be able to influence them and tell them about Jesus Christ. And, you know, and so to be in relationship with the God who created you and to make him known, that is our purpose. And a few years ago, I heard about this model of evangelism called BLESS a few years ago. And this model of evangelism that we're talking about here today is based on what Jesus actually did to share the gospel. A church located outside of Chicago, Illinois, they found this strategy to help others live on mission daily. And what they did is they looked at the Bible in Genesis chapter 12, the beginning of the Bible, and what they saw there is that Abraham, the father of Israel, that what God did was he blessed Abraham, not just to keep the blessing for himself. He blessed him financially. He blessed him with offspring as numerous as the stars and so many other things. And he blessed him not for him to hoard it and keep it, but so that the entire world would be blessed through Abraham and the way that we've been blessed today because of that. And so God has been doing this throughout redemptive history. And he did that through Jesus, and he does that through us. Y'all, it's that same way. God's plan has not changed. He does this. He's blessed us with the gospel, with the hope of Jesus. And now we are to be that blessing to our neighbors and to the entire world. And it starts by blessing our neighbor. And so what this church did in Chicago is it looked at the life of Jesus in the four gospels and realized that every single time Jesus blessed others, he shared the gospel, he did it in one of five primary ways, one of five categories, which we're gonna be looking at, which of course, Christians love acronyms in a way that the rest of the world does not. So we have to organize this, right, in a way that we can understand and we can use this, right? So we have BLESS. And each one of those stands for one of these things that Jesus did. And so I wanna tell you about them really briefly here to open up our series. And the first one is this: begin with prayer. That's the B, begin with prayer. And I'm not gonna go on this too much right now because that's what we're talking about today. But the second thing is begin with prayer. That's the first. Second is listen with intentionality. Listen with intentionality. It's this idea that sadly, a lot of times Christians are known more about what we're against than what we're for. And so what this means is that we are, before we ever share the gospel with someone, before we ever talk about our story, we wanna begin with prayer. We wanna ask God to show us that person we need to bless and share the gospel with. But the second thing is we need to listen to them. After we know who that is, we wanna start asking thought-provoking questions. We wanna get to know them. We wanna build a relationship with them. And we don't wanna share ourselves. We just wanna listen. We wanna make sure that they can be heard and listened to and loved. And so that's listening with intentionality. Pastor Carter is gonna preach on that next week. And then the third, that's BLE, is eat with purpose. The E is eat with purpose. This is my favorite for obvious reasons, but eat with purpose. Think about this. You have 21 times every single week that you can eat with purpose and have dinner or lunch or breakfast with someone who doesn't know Jesus and eat with purpose. So think about it. You have breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day for 7 days a week. That's, if my math is still right, that's 3 times 7, that's 21. So let me ask you, one time out of that 21, sit down with someone that doesn't know Jesus, a coworker, have lunch with a coworker, have dinner with a neighbor, bring them over to your house and serve them dinner, go out and grab coffee with someone that doesn't know Jesus for breakfast. So just one of those 21 times, and we'll be preaching on that later as well. And then the first S in BLESS, is serve sacrificially. Serve sacrificially. And y'all, this is so vital. I've seen this played out so many different times, but serve sacrificially. Jesus said that he came to serve, not to be served, right? And so what we are doing the entire time, we are praying for this person. We are listening for them and trying to build a relationship. We're eating with them. And there's just something about a meal, right? As we sit down with others and we're listening, we're eating. And that entire time we're doing that, we're listening for ways that we can serve them the way that Jesus has served us. And y'all, this just does something to people when you serve them, and that you remember the second part of that is sacrificially. So they see you serving them in a way that, man, it might hurt you financially, or it might hurt your time because you're giving up your time to serve them. You're doing something that is a sacrifice, the way that Jesus did that for us on the cross. And so you imagine that that clicks with them, and they just can't, there's no category for that for them in their life because they're not a Christian, and it just transforms them, and it's just, it opens up conversations and love and joy. And so that's the S, the first S. And the last one is share. We want to share our story or share the gospel. And I pray that your story and the gospel are woven together based on what Jesus has done for you on the cross. And man, now our marriage is restored. My life has been restored because of this. Let me tell you about my new life that he has given me. And we share that. After we do all these steps, right, the very last thing that we get to do is we've built this relationship. Then we finally have the chance to be able to tell them about the hope of Jesus. Right, and so that's the blessed strategy that we're gonna be talking about over the next few weeks here. And so for those of you that may not know, I was a pastor at a church plant in Rutland, Vermont. If you've ever heard of Vermont, it is a state, just to make sure you're aware, located near Canada. And I was there for about 3 years, and my church went through this blessed model during my time there. And I remember it revolutionizing the way that I thought about sharing my faith and living on mission during that time. I was a campus pastor in the city of Fairhaven, Vermont, a suburb of Rutland. And I remember I would go to a coffee shop every single week, the same one. It was an awesome little shop there in Fairhaven. And I remember getting to know the coffee shop owner. His name was Mark. And I remember getting to know him, and his personality was very charismatic and outgoing, and everybody in the town loved him. You could really sense that he cared deeply for this town. In the town of Fairhaven, if you don't know much about it, it's actually, Vermont was actually tabbed a few years ago as the heroin capital of America. And so heroin, because of Vermont's location to Canada, New York, and New Jersey, it was very big deal. It was just very prominent. People very young would get addicted to it and grow up in it. And so Mark was very big against, even though he was not a Christian, he loved the people in this city, especially the young people. And he would do his best to mentor them, to love them, and give them jobs in the shop and all kinds of other things. And so people loved him. And I remember I started getting to know Mark and thinking, man, this would be awesome. I started praying and I would ask him, God, who should I bless? And I felt like, man, this would be, what if this man came to know Jesus? All the things that he's already doing, I could just see God doing some incredible things through this man of God, or so this man. And so I'm just praying that God would save him, that he would give me opportunities to love Mark and to be able to serve him and all those different things. And I asked other people in my church to be praying for that as well. And I started listening to his stories and his life. I would almost daily come into this coffee shop. He made maple lattes. So maple syrup is a big deal. Come on, somebody in Vermont. And it's a big deal. And so he would make maple lattes. It's incredible. If you never had one, you got to try it. It's awesome. And so so he would make those. And I remember going in there, and he would also, and I was listening to him, and he also made the best BLT, right? He also owned a farm. So he had fresh bacon. He had homemade bread. Anybody getting hungry for lunch? And he had fresh tomatoes, so it was good. So I knew, right, 21 times a week that I had, and I was gonna eat with purpose. So I would eat lunch in there because I knew at a specific time, not very many people came in to his shop. So I would wait for that time to be able to get a sandwich from him and have my drink and hang out with him and talk to him. And I was able to build this relationship with Mark. And then one day, I remember coming into the shop, and I could tell there was something off with Mark that day. He wasn't his normal outgoing, charismatic self and the way that he normally was. And so I asked him at the very end of my time there that day, I went up to him and I said, hey, Mark, is everything okay, man? I just want to make sure you're not acting like your normal self, and didn't mean to be rude, but is everything okay? And he said, man, Michael, thank you so much for noticing. He said, my wife and I, you know, we moved here from Chicago. We own this small business and we have this farm. And man, financially, it is very difficult right now. So my wife and I have been fighting constantly, and it's just been really rough on us lately. And I said, man, I am so sorry about that. I was like, man, I will definitely be praying for you. I am so sorry. And I left there thinking, you know, man, this is a need. I've been looking and asking God to give me a need. And I felt like this is one. And so I drove to CVS Pharmacy and got a $50 Visa gift card. And I drove back and I waited in line and gave this gift card to Mark. And I said, hey, man, I was like, I'm not married. I wasn't even dating my wife at the time. And I said, I'm not married. But what I do know and what I've been told is you have to date your wife. And so I want to give this card to you. I hope that you and your wife can use it and go out somewhere in downtown Rutland and eat dinner together and have fun. And man, just y'all have a date together, right? And he looked at me, I'll never forget. He grabbed my hand and he pulled me in close. And I'll never forget. He said, Michael, with tears in his eyes, he said, you practice what you believe. You practice what you believe. And y'all, I never thought a $50 Visa gift card could go so far. Y'all, and it was just something about it when people see that sacrificially serving and this relationship that I got to build with Mark, it was just incredible and it energized me in a way that I'll never forget. And I remember, I mean, I did end up sharing the gospel with him shortly after this time, but I ended up moving back to North Carolina as well. So I never got to see him profess Christ as a savior, but it was a friendship, y'all, that I will never forget. And it energized me in ways that I never felt to be able to pray for him and all these other things that I got to do with him and build this relationship. It was so close. But church, this is why I am so passionate about this series that we are in and what it could mean for our church. If we could live out these simple practices daily, God could change the culture of Roanoke forever. I truly believe it. Think of the people that he could save. The stories that could be rewritten, but it starts with us. It starts with us living a new lifestyle, one where we live on the mission that we have been created for. And y'all, in order to get there, we must begin with prayer. In order to get there, we must begin with prayer. Everything we do must be bathed in prayer with God because he is the author, perfecter of our faith. He is the one that moves and changes lives. And so that leads us to our main idea for today, which is this: in order to bless your neighbor, begin with prayer. In order to bless your neighbor, begin with prayer. And what I want you to see today is that prayer is not only how you discover the mission, right? Because we're gonna be praying and asking God, hey, Lord, who do you have for me to bless? Who is it that I bless? Who is it that I need to share the gospel with? It's not only that, but it's also how you pursue the mission. So all five of those things that I just told you about, the serve, the eat, all those pieces, throughout that, we are praying that entire time that God would reveal for us who to bless and how to do it. God, would you help me serve them? Would you help me eat with purpose? Would you help me build this relationship? So we're doing that the entire time. And so this morning, we're gonna be in Luke chapter 6, verses 12 through 16. If you wanna turn there, it'll also be on the screen as well. And this is Luke chapter 6, 12 through 16. Just quick background. In here, what the passage that we're looking at today, Jesus is right here at the beginning of his ministry. He's actually choosing the 12 apostles that we hear about throughout the New Testament, the writers of the New Testament and so on. And we're coming in right here to a section of scripture where he is about to pick those apostles. And so here's verse 12. It says this: one day soon afterward, Jesus went up on a mountaintop to pray, and he prayed to God all night. At daybreak, he called together all of his disciples and chose 12 of them to be his apostles. Here are their names: Simon, whom he named Peter, Andrew, Peter's brother, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, and Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who later betrayed him. So y'all, as we're thinking about beginning with prayer, what I wanna do today is show you three ways to do that. So we're gonna be looking at three ways real quick here that we can begin with prayer and live out this blessed model. Number one is this: plan to pray. Number one, plan to pray. I know that sounds very simple, but it's a huge deal in our lives if we are actually gonna do so. So we wanna plan to pray. This is based on verse 12, which let me read one more time just to jog our memory. It said, one day soon afterward, Jesus went up on a mountain to pray, and he prayed to God all night. And so y'all, in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus prays before or during the most significant events of his life. He prays before or during the most significant events of his life, and especially at decisive junctures in the unfolding plan of salvation. So why begin with prayer, you might ask? Because Jesus did. Why do we begin with prayer? Because Jesus did. Jesus prayed after he was baptized. After he was baptized by John the Baptist, Jesus prays then, right? And then what does he do? He goes into the wilderness to fast and pray 40 days before he ever starts his public ministry. So Jesus, before all these big, huge moments in his life, he prayed just like in this story that we're reading today. We have to get ourselves to the mindset that prayer is not something that I have to do, but it's something that I get to do. Right? It's not something that I have to do, it's something I get to do. But in our busy lives, it becomes just another thing I have to cross off my list in order to get done. I don't know if you've ever felt this way. You feel like, man, gotta get the quiet time done, gotta read my Bible today, gotta get the kids to hear, gotta do this, gotta do that, right? And it feels like it's just another thing that's added to our plate. It's like, man, I gotta get this done, right? And so we check it off and we have to get in that mindset, y'all, that this is the God of the universe. Man, what an honor that we get to spend time with him. We get to pray to him and be in this relationship. And so we have to get ourselves to that mindset. And we also have to see that we can't do it by ourselves. We can't do it by ourselves. He is our Father. He is our lifeline. If we believe that God is the one to move people and to save, we must pray. We must pray. Tim Keller, who was a former pastor in New York City, he said it like this in his book on prayer. He said, imagine if you were diagnosed with such a lethal condition that a doctor told you that you would die within hours unless you took a particular medicine, a pill every single night before going to sleep. Imagine that you were told that you could never miss it or you would die. Would you forget? Would you just not get around to it some nights? No, absolutely. It would be so crucial that you would never forget. You would never miss it. Well, church, let me tell you, if we do not pray to God because of all the things that we are facing, then we are not gonna make it. I know I'm certainly not. We have to pray. We can't just let prayer slip our minds daily. It needs to be in this connection with God. And so y'all, with the distractions, you think about all the distractions of our life that we have in our lives. We must plan to pray. We see Jesus here in this passage in verse 12. He got away from the crowds. He got away from his disciples. He went up to a mountain because he knew strategically that was the best place where nobody else would be around him, right? So he got away from the distractions of life. And think about the distractions in your life, even the good ones, family, you know, our jobs that we have that provide for us, all these different things. Think about the distractions that mount in your life. Right? If we do not plan to pray, if we're not strategic in that, then we won't pray. So we have to plan. We have to think about this. When I lived in Greensboro, my wife and I lived in Greensboro, I worked at a credit union, and my plan for prayer was every day on the way to work. Every day on the way to work, and I wrote this little card. I got an index card and wrote, God, give me an opportunity to share the gospel, wisdom to see it, and boldness to take it. And I wrote this on an index card and I put it on my visor in my car so that I would see it every single day. And on the way to work, it would always be there. And so I would take 10 minutes to prepare my heart. God, would you help me to love people today? Would you help me to love my coworkers like you do? And God, and I would just pray this. I would pray for them by name. I would pray for them by situation and things that they've told me in their life. And y'all, it radically changed my perspective. And there's just something about this. When we get our minds right to start the day in the morning, it drives you to love and serve your coworkers. Just something about it. It automatically gets your mind focused to be able to do this throughout the day. And so I naturally would tell them about the church I attended and about what God was doing in my life. And I would naturally just want to serve them and go above and beyond in ways to be able to help them with the jobs that they were doing. And it was all because I had this. I was intentional to pray. And y'all, things that are important to us, what do we do with them? When things are important, we write them down in our calendars, right? We put them down in our calendars. If we want to be intentional about setting aside time to pray, we must plan for it. If you're not praying at all right now, if you find yourself in that season where, man, prayer is just not a thing that you're doing, I want to encourage you. Take 5 to 10 minutes every day before you get out of bed to pray. make that resolve. Write it down, put it in your calendar, make a reminder on your phone, and make that resolve. Before I get out of bed today, I'm gonna take 5 to 10 minutes to ask God who I should bless today, and make that resolve to pray. Or it could be setting a reminder on your phone to pray during your lunch break or some other time of day that is more convenient. Whatever you do, be intentional, write it down, and plan to pray. And so, church, we must plan to pray, but secondly, if we are to bless our neighbor, we must prepare our heart in prayer. We must prepare our heart in prayer. This is based on the second half of verse 12, where it says, Jesus, and he prayed to God all night. Jesus prayed to God all night. I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more I realize all-nighters are not that great. The more about you, the more older I get, I don't know about you, but man, I remember when I was little, I was so excited, right, to watch the ball drop, and I got to stay up till midnight to be able to do this. And now, the ball drop this past year and the last few years, I'm like, I gotta stay up past my bedtime again. Oh my gosh. And so it just becomes a hassle. And so I don't know about you. I don't know if you've ever spent that much time in prayer, right? Spending all night in prayer to God. And that's what Jesus did here. He has this monumental task on his hands. He's about to decide on the 12 men through whom he would change the entire world. And so he steps away from the crowds and with the people, and he gets alone with God. And he's starting to prepare his heart in prayer. He's beginning with prayer before he makes this monumental decision. And y'all, Jesus' prayer here in verse 12, it's signaled by a Greek phrase that is found actually nowhere else in Scripture. We know that the New Testament of the Bible was originally written in Greek. And so we see this Greek phrase that's actually nowhere else in Scripture. And in English, it means that he spent the night in prayer of God. He spent the night in prayer of God. And of course, that makes no sense in English. So we say prayer to God. But commentators and scholars would suggest that not only in prayer to God, but prayer in conformity with the very nature and the will of God. And that's what Jesus is doing here. He's communing with the Father, and he's aligning himself in prayer to God's will, right? And we may assume that Jesus had a link with God that gave him effortless access to the Father's will. And y'all, how significant that Jesus, the Son of God, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, in whom God's presence is powerful to heal, that he must spend all night praying in discernment of God's will. If this is the case, how much more do you and I need to be in that same discernment, right? If Jesus, God in human form, needed to spend all night in discernment of God's will for these 12 men, how much more do we need to be in prayer to God that way? So as you pray, ask God to prepare your heart to bless others. Ask him to give you the eyes to see how he is leading and for the courage to follow him. I encourage you to be bold in your prayers as well. Ask him to give you divine appointments with people he is already working in. Ask God to do that. God, the people that you're already working in, God, give me opportunities to be able to interact with them, to eat with them, God, to serve them sacrificially. And so ask God to teach you to pray as well. If you would say that you grew up not really praying or you don't really know how to pray, I encourage you, that is a prayer in and of itself. Pray, God, teach me to pray. God, teach me how to do this. Teach me in a way that honors you. Pray for dependence on him. In last week, Pastor Carter and I, we actually got to go to this conference in North Carolina and heard Robbie Gallaty. Robbie Gallaty, he's the pastor of Long Hollow Church located outside of Nashville, Tennessee. And God did some incredible things, if you've ever heard about their church, in the first half, the first quarter, the first 3 months of 2021, God did this. He baptized over 1,000 people at their church in 3 months. And y'all, this is not a gigantic mega church. This is a few thousand people at their church. And most of the people that were baptized there actually came outside. They were not at in the state of Tennessee. They drove from New York. They drove from Colorado. They drove from Maine. And they did this, and it was incredible what God did. But at that conference, Pastor Robbie, he reminded us about the practice of silence and solitude. Silence and solitude. See, in our crazy lives and in the crazy world in which we live, silence and solitude feel more like laziness and a waste of time, right? When we think about silence and solitude, it feels like, man, this is a waste of time. I gotta be going, I gotta be doing something, I gotta get this done, gotta check this out. But hear me. Silence and solitude are gifts from God to be used as spiritual disciplines in our lives. They are gifts from God to be used as disciplines in our lives. Pastor Robbie, he went on to say that silence and solitude are totally different than any other spiritual gifts because all other spiritual gifts have the rule of reciprocity built into them. And that just means that that you are doing something expecting to get something in return. So for example, if you read your Bible, you expect to learn from God. If you give, you are giving back a portion of what God has already given you. If you are memorizing scripture, you are using it as a tool to be able to help in a difficult situation or a difficult time. But silence and solitude are different because most of the time there is no tangible response from God. We are not trying to get something from God. Robbie said that God reminded him during this season that you are not trying to get something from me. You are simply just being with me. And y'all hear me, I bet God misses his time with you. I bet he misses your presence. Y'all, see the church, I believe God is always speaking. And he's always speaking primarily through his word, but I also believe he speaks to us in other ways, right? But we never give him a chance in prayer because when we pray, we ask for everything that we need, that we want, right? And then we end it there in our problems and we end it and we stop and we go on to something else. And we have to be smart here, right? Because if God is speaking to us, it's always gonna be in connection with word. Hear me, the Spirit of God will never lead you to do something that contradicts his word. He's never gonna lead you to do something that contradicts his word. God won't tell you, and he also won't tell you or prompt you to do everything either, because he's a good father. He's not gonna tell us every single thing that we need to do because a good father allows you to make your own decision. He wants us to grow. That's why the Bible tells us to pray for wisdom, and that's why we have wisdom literature. And when it comes to the mission, though, I believe that God will prompt us and push us and give us clarity on whom he is calling us to bless. And so we should pray, God, who should I bless? And I believe and sit in silence and solitude waiting for God to move and act. But it's just that time of being intimate with our Father. And I want to pause for a moment and say, hey, maybe you're here today and you have never prayed. Maybe you're in here today, you have never prayed. Maybe you would not even consider yourself to be a Christian. And if I can urge you today that you can prepare your hearts today is this section that we're in. You can prepare your hearts by believing in Jesus as your Savior. You can do that today that he gave his life for you. Y'all, you are not too far to run to Jesus. You are not too far to run to him. See, we have as much of God that we want in our life. And y'all, I'm here to tell you that there is so much more. We have as much access to God that we want in our life, y'all, but we limit him because of our time that we don't spend time with him. We don't open our lives to him in that way. And there is so much more that he has for us. And so if we are to begin with prayer, as I said, we must plan to pray. We must prepare our hearts in prayer. But finally, we need to pray for people and places. We need to pray for people and places. This is based on verses 13 through 16. It said again, at daybreak, he called together all of his disciples and chose 12 of them to be apostles. Here are their names: Simon, whom he named Peter, Andrew, Peter's brother, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, Simon, Judas, and Judas Iscariot. Y'all, truth be told, I don't think any of us, if we were there during this time and we knew these guys, I don't think any of us would pick half of the people that Jesus did to be his apostles. They were certainly not the best or the brightest in any sense. And y'all know today we have things like the NFL draft, the NFL combine, and it's actually going on right now. And so it's basically where college football players will be scouted by NFL teams. And they look at everything about a player's life, right? They do a physical test to see how fast they are. They even measure their fingers, how long their hands are, and the ability to catch a football and to do all these different things, all the way down to mental tests, where they're looking at a person's life and how they grew up And there's actually a test that potential quarterbacks, the guys that throw the football, have to take. If you've never heard of this, it's a mental question test. It's 50 questions in 12 minutes. You have to take 50 questions in 12 minutes. And if you're curious about that, that's 14 seconds a question. And these are math, these are hard, and word, those word math problems that are from the devil, I feel like, where and it's not like, here, 1 + 1 = 2. It's like, Billy did this, he has 3 apples, and he did that, and that, right? And so they have to answer these questions as fast as possible. And if you've ever heard of Drew Brees, who played for the New Orleans Saints, he actually got a perfect score on this test. And so they do think, these NFL teams do this because they're trying to know every single detail about a person's life because they want to pick the absolute best person based on their physical abilities, the way that they are, right? Side note, State Farm Insurance Company actually makes you take this test as well to become an insurance agent, and I failed miserably. And so I probably wouldn't have been an apostle either. And so Jesus, on the other hand, apart from these NFL teams and what they do today, he prays and he picks quite the group, right? He picks quite the group. The New Testament doesn't hide, I love this, the New Testament doesn't hide their weaknesses, right? The more that you read the Gospels and you read their lives, it doesn't hide their weaknesses, their insecurities, their failures. You think about James and John that are listed here. At one place in the New Testament, they actually want to call down fire on the Samaritans. They are basically like, let's torch them. Then later on, John is known as the apostle of love. The apostle of love, right? And Peter, the apostle Peter, same way, right? He cuts a dude's ear off. He's always packing, right? Yet later on, Peter would pen, let's show hospitality toward others without grumbling, right? You see this, y'all. This shows the transforming power of Jesus. These were real men who were really transformed by the grace of Jesus Christ. No one, y'all, no one is out without hope. No one. I know that to be the truth in my own life. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. He doesn't qualify. He doesn't call people that have it all together, that have never sinned, that look perfect, and because of their abilities and talents, he picks them and uses them on his mission. No, he looks at the broken people of this world that are going to be dependent on him, and he uses those people to radically change the world, right? And so, y'all, let me ask you, who is God calling you to bless that you might have already written off? Who is God calling you to bless that you might have already written off saying, no, 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 there's no way this person's gonna come to know Jesus. Maybe it's a family member or a coworker that has hurt you or has wronged you. Who is it? If someone angers you, do you immediately write them off? No one, y'all, no one is outside of the saving grace of God. If you begin with prayer and really listen to God, who knows who he could call you to bless? Who knows? This reminds me of an illustration, if you've ever heard of the Bible teacher named Beth Moore. Beth Moore has this powerful moment in her life where she was at an airport and she was waiting to get on a flight in the gate terminal area. And she sees this older gentleman, old guy who is in a wheelchair, and his hair, not to be rude, but his hair was just crazy. It wasn't styled that way. It was just very apparent that he had not brushed his hair today, that day. And Beth tells this story and she says that she has been been with Jesus long enough to know that the writing was on the wall in that moment. And she felt the Holy Spirit actually calling her to brush his hair, to ask him if she could brush his hair. And so immediately she says, when she gets this, she's like, are you serious? Like, no, definitely not. It probably been my same reaction, right? And she feels that prompting again, go ask him if you could brush his hair. And she's like, ah, finally. So after a couple minutes, she finally gets up, she goes over and she kneels by him and leans into his ear and she says, Can I, sir, would I have the pleasure, can I please brush your hair if that's okay? And he leans over and he says, honey, you're gonna have to talk a lot louder than that if you want me to hear you. And so everybody in the terminal now is looking at her and him, and she knows it's too late. She's going to have to ask. And so she says, sir, can I have the pleasure of being able to brush your hair? And she says it louder. And he finally says, well, if you want to, you can definitely do that. And she says, the only thing is I don't have a hairbrush. And he says, I actually have one in my bag here. She gets it out and she starts brushing his hair. And she leans in and she says, I just want you to know that Jesus loves you. And he says, I know that. I've been with him for a long time, and I'm actually on my way to go see my bride, my wife, for the first time in a long time. And I would have looked like a mess if you had not done this for me. And so thank you so much from the bottom of my heart, with tears in his eyes. And he was so thankful for her. And y'all, who knows who God could call us to bless? And maybe God is calling you to bless gas station attendants on a long drive. To give you some ideas, if you're driving for a long period, maybe you want to stop at gas stations and talk to the people that work there and give them something financially or a gift card or something else and bless them in that way. Maybe God is calling you to bless your neighbors by praying for them regularly. This reminds me of a story I love to tell at Starting Point about Sean Sears, who was a pastor outside of Boston, and he moved to the Boston area, not to plant a church, but to work at Gordon Conwell Seminary in youth ministry and teach about youth ministry. And he got a piece of paper and drew all of the houses in his neighborhood with his in the center, put their name there and put it up. And as they got to know their neighbors, they started penciling in the names of the people and started praying over that piece of paper daily. And over time, those people started coming to know Jesus Christ as their savior and being transformed and changed. And eventually a bunch of them came together and was like, you know, Sean, we don't know much about the Bible or Christianity, but I think you're supposed to go to church, you know, when you're a Christian, right? And he said, yeah. And so he ends up starting this church called Grace Church, and it's one of the fastest growing churches in America. Years ago, he started this. And it was all because he began with prayer. And he started that with that idea. And so who knows what God could do? Y'all, do you realize that there are people you come across every single day who have never had someone pray for them? You come across people every single day who have never had, and it's crazy to me. I grew up in church, and I can't imagine never having someone pray over me or pray for me, but there's people that you come across every day who's never had someone do that. You could be that one. And y'all, a way to immediately apply this, we're almost done, is there's a website here that should be featured. It's called blesseveryhome.com. blesseveryhome.com. Carter told me about this, and I have joined as well. And it's a little creepy, but it's great because it will tell you the names of your neighbors based on public record and where they live, based on public record. And so you're able to know the neighbors of the homes of the people around you. And I want to encourage you to prayer walk your community. This is a very easy thing that you can do starting this afternoon. Is you could go to this website. It's free to join. You can actually see other people in your neighborhood who are lights, is what they call it, who are lights in that community that are Christians as well. And you can link up with them and you can pray for your neighbors. And you can just walk by the houses and pray for the people, because it'll tell you who is there. And so a very easy way to apply it. And so y'all, I firmly believe that God will give you specific places and people that he is already working in for you to bless. I believe that. We just need to be obedient to pray and ask. We just need to be obedient to pray and ask. And y'all, we're in Luke chapter 6 today, and we saw how Jesus began his ministry in prayer. But a few years later, he would also begin his journey to the cross in the same way, in prayer. In John chapter 17, we see this beautiful prayer that Jesus prays for us as his followers. Y'all, Jesus does not go to the cross prayerlessly, but prayerfully. The Bible says that he was sweating drops like blood. Jesus went to the mat for us in prayer even when he didn't want to, because he knew the anguish and that the wrath of God would be upon him, that he would be separated from his eternal Father. And he began in prayer, though, to align God's will to his. And he went to the cross anyways for you and I. Jesus blessed us by giving up his life so that we could give up our lives to bless others. Y'all hear that? Jesus blessed us by giving up his life so that we could bless others. As we are applying this today, we realize it's not comfortable to bless others, right? A lot of times it's not. But Jesus became uncomfortable for us. So if you are here and you don't see the need, if you don't want to bless your neighbor, then you must begin with prayer. You have to begin with prayer. And ask God to give you the heart for your neighbor, the same heart that Jesus has for you. Imagine, y'all, imagine what we could do if all of us sought to bless our neighbor this year. And we are starting to see the results of this over the last few months, the sermon series that we're in. We're starting to see what God is doing through stories in our church, and it's amazing. And y'all, I want to close with one last story where I got to bless one of my coworkers at my former job in Greensboro using this model. I remember there was a girl named Crystal who worked with me at this credit union. And I invited one of my my coworkers, not Crystal, but another girl. And I was going to a church called Mercy Hill in Greensboro. It's a multi-site church, so there's multiple locations. So I was at the one in Greensboro. She was at the one in High Point. And I remember at the time, I invited her, and then that was on Sunday. So then that Monday, I came back to church, and I was so excited to hear about her time and hope she enjoyed it. And as I'm talking to her about her experience, Crystal overhears. She comes up to us, and she says, "I haven't been to church in 3 months. Ask me if I care about it." And immediately I knew something was up, right? I felt like at that moment, God was saying, man, this is the person that you need to bless because there's something going on in her heart. And so I took time over that to get to know her, to build a relationship with her, and to ask her about her life, and realize that she was had a fiance and had a couple kids together, and they were living together. But I got to know her and her family in that time. And I realized there was one day, she had a bunch of ups and downs as well, where she had highs and lows. But I remember one day, I remember her struggling and talking about some difficulties. And on my lunch break, I went to Regal, the movie theater that was not very far, on my lunch break, and got a gift card to the movie theater. And I came back after that, my lunch break, and gave it to her and said, "Hey, I know you're having some difficulties at home with everything that's going on and trying to balance life. And I just want you to take this card and I want you to use it. And y'all go out as a family, or you and your husband have a date night together. And I want you to use this." And I remember, y'all, it changed, radically changed Crystal's perspective from that time on. And this hard-hearted person, I remember her opening up and just being so thankful and like, "I can't accept this. I can't take this." And y'all, it just radically changed Crystal's heart when I got to serve her sacrificially that way. And y'all, it's so amazing. A few months later, I ended up going to a different job and no longer saw Crystal. But a few months after that, I got a call from her saying, and she got, I did forget, she got plugged into Mercy Hill after that. Her kids started coming. They loved it. They were coming out dancing out of the kids' area. Man, it was incredible just to see the life change. She got all the way plugged in, man, to our church, and God was moving in her heart. And so as I went to a different job, I got a call from her saying, "Hey, Michael, I want to get married. That me and my husband, or me and my fiance, we want to get married, and we want you to do the ceremony." And y'all, it was just beautiful picture of redemption of what God had did. And I have some pictures here I want to show you. I got to do their premarital counseling for them, and they ended up getting married at Pretty Place Chapel, if you've ever seen it on TikTok. About 10 minutes before we're going to do the ceremony, starts pouring down rain, and she's like, "Michael, please pray." And you can't see any of that. It's all cloudy. And then, y'all, 5 minutes before she goes down the aisle, this rainbow comes out, the clouds fade, and you see this beautiful picture. And it's just a reminder of God's faithfulness, y'all. Can you imagine, Lord, y'all, that we see marks that I mentioned, we see crystals, their eternal lives are hanging in the balance. And so that we can see pictures like this, we can see marriages restored. God, we can see lives restored and all the things that God could do. It was just this beautiful picture of what God did in their lives, this illustration. Y'all, I wanna challenge you to begin with prayer, to bless your neighbor, y'all. Let's pray.